Well, let's open up God's word today. And today we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at a passage that, well, it's probably going to be somewhat familiar. It has something to do with Thanksgiving. But I was having a conversation. One of the things I try to do each week is just to text or call as many people in the congregation as I reasonably can, just to see how people are doing. Many of you have received those texts or those emails or things like that, and some of you even respond, which is kind of nice too. But I was talking to someone that I actually just hadn't seen in a while, and they said this, and I thought it was just really, really profound. They said, "This is as much a mental health pandemic as a medical one. At least it feels like that to us." Anybody relate to that? This is as much a mental health pandemic as a medical one. Now, that's not to diminish the medical severity of the pandemic that we are in and hopefully just about through. But it's just to say that this has been a tough season, hasn't it? Where, I don't know about you, but I feel like, anxiety and kind of how you handle, worry and stress, those things are on the rise. So whether that is what seems like the constant stream of bad news, especially if you're watching cable news, and especially if you're watching American cable news, which you realize is funded by advertising dollars, which you realize those advertisers pay for viewing time, and they know that bad news, things that get you nervous, are what's going to keep you watching. Or many of us, we get our information from the internet, and especially social media. And it's interesting. I don't know if there's a documentary out there called The Social Dilemma, and it helps to illustrate a little bit of these things. But they can prove in the data that bad news actually travels 7 times faster and 7 times further than good news. And of course, the whole goal of any social media network is the viewing time, to keep you on that platform, because the longer you're on the platform, the more ads you're going to see, the more ads you see, the more money they make. Have you ever had that experience where maybe you're on Facebook, for example, and you're thinking, I'm just going to be there for 5 minutes. I just want to check in on some friends, which is good, by the way. I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be on Facebook at all. But you take that you're saying, I'm going to be on there for 5 minutes. I'm just going to check in. And then you look up, and it's 25 minutes later. I have that experience all the time. And you just think, how does this happen like that? Well, it's because it's designed to do that. It's designed to keep you watching. And one of the ways it does that is with bad news, or at least extreme views. Like, the angrier it is and the sadder it is, the further it will go. So we're feeling that. I'm feeling that. There's been studies done now on Instagram and its effect on teenagers. Now, Instagram is a more positive platform, perhaps, than Facebook. You don't see quite as many angry quotes, but what we do see is we kind of see the highlight reel of everybody else's life, and then our own lives often just feel inadequate in comparison to that. So studies have shown that the longer you're on social media, the more you're probably going to be struggling with depression or anxiety. Again, I'm not saying you shouldn't be on social media at all. It is a good way to watch puppy videos and important things like that, which sometimes is, actually. It's kind of fun to see those little things, or to stay in touch with your loved ones. What I am saying is that you might want to think of social media a little bit like wine. Where, if 15 minutes of social media is like a half a glass of wine, a half a glass of wine is probably not going to hurt you too much. But by the time you get to 2 glasses of wine, you're going to start to see the world in very, very different ways. And by the time you get to the glass number 4, you're not going to see the world clearly at all. Social media is a little bit like wine. Small amounts in moderation are probably okay. But if you find you can't stop, that's all the more reason to stop. To stop. So I'm not here so much to hammer on social media, though I am just a little bit. And I realize there's an irony in it, in that some of you are joining us from social media right now. And I hope as much as possible for those next few minutes that we have together that you can stop the scroll. And we can just dive into the Word of God together. Because I do believe this passage, even though it is somewhat familiar, it has got something to say to each and every one of us. I know I am feeling it right now as well. Just that sense of God's Word has something to say to how we do life, especially life here in the year 2021. Because it's a passage that has to do with gratitude, and especially these two practices that relate to gratitude. Are you grateful? I hope so. I hope so. But there are some things that it seems that gratitude unlocks in our life, like few other things. And that's not just being grateful that 2021 is almost over, but to stop and truly be grateful. So let's take a look. So Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, let's read the whole passage, and then we'll dive in with a little bit more detail. So the Apostle Paul writes this from a prison cell to the church in Philippi, starting with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Then it gets to verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the peace and the God of peace will be with you. The peace of God that transcends all understanding and the God of peace will be with you. Do you need more peace in your life? Oh yeah, me too. So let's dive in. Okay, verse 6. Do not be anxious about, well, it starts with rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, if you ever want to really make somebody mad when they're having a bad day, you quote a verse like that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything. Now, if you're feeling anxious, that is probably not helpful advice. I'm feeling worried. Don't worry. Well, thank you very much. Unfortunately, one of the ways we apply verses like this in church world is we hear passages like this, rejoice in the Lord always, or don't be anxious about anything. And we try to apply it. This is well-intentioned. We try to apply it in our life. And what we end up doing is we end up being really, really phony. You've probably seen this. You've probably felt this, and you've probably been tempted to do this as well. How are you doing? You come to church. How are you doing? And you say, I'm doing great. You're a young family, and you just arrived you just got your kids out of the car and into church. You've probably contemplated homicide several times between the car and getting him from the front door, you know, through the front door of the church. You know, if you're married, you probably have some sort of a fight with your spouse. Sunday morning shouldn't have much traffic, but it is amazing, isn't it, what can happen while you are driving to church. And how are you doing? I am just doing great. Just praise Jesus. We have invented at times a culture of phoniness with the best of intentions because we're trying to practice these biblical principles. But it's important to remember, I want to jump to another verse for a second just for context, because the same Paul who's writing these words, rejoice in the Lord always and do not be anxious about anything, as he's writing these words from a prison cell, also wrote these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. If you're ever tempted to just put on a brave front, this is the verse to memorize, maybe even to underline. Does the Apostle Paul sound really happy? Is he rejoicing at this moment? No. Indeed, we felt like we had received the sentence of death, but this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. So the person that's giving this advice, you know, the Apostle Paul, he is not, I mean, we are tempted to apply it in ways that are maybe a little bit Pollyannish, a little bit plastic, a little bit fake, but that's not the original author. And I don't believe that's a good application of this verse. God's not telling us, or God's word is through the Apostle Paul, is not telling us to fake it until we make it. Instead, it says, don't be anxious about anything, but, let's keep reading, in every situation, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't be anxious about anything, but, so when you're anxious, this isn't so much Paul saying don't be anxious, he's saying, I've felt anxious too, and when I am, here's something that can help. But in every situation, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So here's principle number one I want to talk about just briefly. When you're feeling anxious, when I'm feeling anxious, practice number one, talk with God about it. Talk with God about it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, if you have your paper Bibles open, underline the word every. In every situation. So many of us, and myself included, there are topics in my life that I have had, and it's hard to talk to God about. And I think that God doesn't want to hear what I have to say in these areas. Or I think I've got to get my life cleaned up before God will want to hear my prayers. So if we can pray to the Lord about every situation, can you pray to God about your sex life? It got quiet, didn't it? Y'all are convinced, are you? Does God care about those details of your life too? Yes. Or your loneliness? Or your depression? And depression is not a sin. Or your temptations? You know that sin that you've tried to turn away from time and time and time again, and then you're tired and you feel isolated and you just feel drawn back to that, and you're like, oh, I can't talk to God about this. I can't talk to God about this until I overcome it. You're probably not going to overcome it, my dear friend, until you talk to God about it. Practice number one is we talk with God about it. Actually, with God is a better way of saying than to God, isn't it? We talk with God about it. Your body image, talk with God about it. Your work, the coworker you'd love to throttle, talk with God about it. And then it says this, in every situation with Do you remember the verse? Some of you have the Bibles open, so you got this. In every situation with, there's a key word, thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. With thanksgiving. In other words, as we're talking to God honestly, and God invites us to come to Him honestly, we do it remembering the larger perspective of God's faithfulness. I will be honest with God about my concerns now, remembering His faithfulness in the past. Can we say that together? I will be honest with God about my concerns now, remembering his faithfulness in the past. We start to see that larger perspective with thanksgiving. And then we get to this first promise of God. You know, this thing, I think Paul learned this the hard way. That's why as he is getting towards the end of his life, as he's in a prison cell, as he is anticipating his own execution and writing a letter to a church that he loves. He says this, you know, I've had times when I was anxious. I'm learning to talk with God about it. I remember to be thankful, and in verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can you think of a time where you have experienced that peace of God that transcends all understanding? You know, where you were in a situation, and then you realize, you know, if I didn't know Jesus, I don't know if I would make it through this. I don't even understand why I'm not a basket case right now. So maybe that was after a hard loss or a time of grief or a massive setback or that thing that happened in your life. There's no way you could see it coming and you just feel clobbered. And yet somehow in that moment, you also felt held. So often when we're praying about, you know, for the peace of God in our life, and I know this is true for me, I'm praying that God would fix all the other things around me. You know, here's the people I'm worried about. Here's the situations I'm worried about. Here's what I saw on TV that I'm worried about. God, would you please fix that? Because if you do, then I'll have peace. And it's okay to pray about those things. And the God of the universe, he can work miracles. He can heal that family member. He can maybe give favor in a situation. But he doesn't always. He's sovereign. He may or may not change the world around you. But as we pray, he can begin to change the world inside of us. And the peace of God, can we put that verse on the screen again? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Now, God guarding your heart doesn't mean that you're not supposed to guard your heart too. I mean, some of you have already, you've memorized Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for everything flows from it. It's not that God does all of the guarding, it's just that you and God start working together in the guarding. He comes alongside as you also labor to guard your heart. And that's what this next passage is talking about. So we move on to verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And that leads us to kind of practice number 2. First practice is we talk to God about it. The second practice of thanksgiving and gratitude is we strive to think about godly things. That's not as easy as it sounds. Now, you've probably heard a lot about like meditation and mindfulness. Like this is one of the things that, celebrities everywhere are kind of doing that. So I was reading this week that Lady Gaga, she meditates. Arnold Schwarzenegger likes to meditate. Hugh Jackman likes to meditate. And many of these celebrities will say, this is a big part of my success. And perhaps it is. And meditation is a practice that has roots in Christianity and roots in, and it's something that God encourages us to do. But when we are meditating as Christians, it's not that we're trying to clear our minds and think of nothing. It's that as we're looking to focus our mindfulness with God as a part of it. Lord, help my mind to dwell on godly things, on good things. And it's interesting, maybe this is a good time to mention this. As we talk about these spiritual practices, this isn't so much like faith versus science. You know, like, oh, are you going to go to the doctor and talk about your depression and maybe get some medication, or are you going to pray? Just pick one of the two. No, the two can go hand in hand. The two can go together. Absolutely. You know, and the wonders of modern medicine are a good thing, and the and you know, the sociology and psychology, these are gifts. These are good things. But what I do hope we can learn as followers of Jesus is that we let faith lead that process. It is fascinating to me how science is just now starting to catch up with things that the scriptures have proclaimed as true, well, for literally thousands of years. That as we focus our hearts and we focus our minds on particular thoughts, it literally, and I don't use that word lightly, it literally changes our minds. If you're following along in the message notes, I put some links on this at the bottom of the page about like meditation and neuroplasticity, or meditation and neural pathways. That as we focus our minds, it changes the little highways going on that are happening in our brain. Like, so when Paul would write in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's not just introducing like this really wonderful metaphor. Science is just now catching up to how much as we allow God to transform our lives, it actually renews our mind. Like, we actually get new things, new physically observable things happening in our brains. Isn't that amazing? Some of you already knew that. But it's just one more reason and one more way that God's word is true. As we think on godly things, it can change how we think. But there is a challenge, isn't there, with that? And we've already kind of talked about this. That you know, bad news, negative thoughts tend to be like Velcro. They land and they stick. And the good things are a lot more like Teflon. They just slide right off. That's why you could have 20 friends send you an encouraging note. Hey, I'm praying for you, just thinking about you. And you get one super negative text, one really neat, mean email, one comment, one troll on your, you know, on your social media post. And what's the thing you probably think about? You think about that critical word, don't you? The good things tend to just Teflon, and the negative things are like Velcro. We're facing a bit of an uphill battle here. So Paul tells us, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And then it gets to verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put that into practice. And the promises and the peace of God will be with you. As Paul is kind of at the apex of his ministry, as he's anticipating the end of his life, and he's writing to this beloved church, he says, it's basically saying, among other things, that, you know, that how you handle those hard things, it's part of your discipleship. How you train your mind is part of what it means to follow Jesus. And it's if he's saying to these friends, and y'all know my story too, right? You've seen me have to struggle through this. You've seen me have to do that. Whatever you learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the peace of God will be with you. Now, so I want to share something with you that just comes out of some areas that I've been learning and growing in my own life, especially in the last 3 years. And some of you are much, much better at this, and I just want to acknowledge that. I know enough of you in the congregation deeply enough to know that some of you have really beautiful, rich prayer lives, and I stand in awe of that. Because sometimes in my life, I've had to grow and learn quite a bit. And prayer and, you know, giving things over to the Lord does not come naturally to me. So for those of you that already have a really rich prayer life, well, you may not need this of what I'm about to say. Other than I would encourage you to start discipling some people, because we all need to learn what you've learned, and we all need to grow from what you've experienced. But I want to share with you something that has become a daily practice for me. I have a little journal at home, and over the last 3 years, I've started to learn how to journal daily. It is nothing pretty at all, which is why it's also pretty honest. So I'm not going to share like the actuality of my journal, but I want to share with you what each day starts with. Each day looks a little bit like this. So can we put up that graphic? So on a piece of paper, I'll write down usually the day of the week, and then I write down three things, and this has been helpful to me. So I mean, again, some of you are probably way advanced. This to me sometimes feels like kind of prayer 101, but I've had to learn this. You know, I start off with the phrase, "Today I feel," and I just start to write down what I'm feeling. Today I'm tired. Or some mornings, today I'm discouraged. Someday it's a great day. Today I'm rested. I'm excited. But I just start to talk to God about how I feel. And learning to be more honest about how I feel to God. And it's amazing how as I'm giving those things over to the Lord, how it just seems to meet me in those places. So why are you feeling that? What made you so tired? Why are your shoulder? Why do you feel like the muscles in your upper back are just like super tight? What's that all about? But I actually write that down. And then the second thing is I'm grateful for. And I try to challenge myself to write 10 things. Because, now again, some of you you're way ahead of me on this. When I'm having a rougher day, I actually have a hard time thinking of those things. So I need to kind of start fresh with I am grateful for coffee. Because usually it's early in the morning. I'm grateful for coffee. Let's start with that. Coffee is good. Start there. And then work up. And I'm wearing clothes. I'm grateful for coffee and clothes, Jesus. I'm grateful for coffee and clothes and this couch. I'm grateful for coffee and clothing and the couch. Now I'm already three towards my 10, which is I'm making progress. I'm going to get there. But by the time I make it to item number 5 or number 6, I can feel my heart start to turn. And then I get to the third category, and so today, God, I'm asking you for. And then I start naming names. God, would you please bless? And I start thinking of my friends who've maybe lost a loved one, or they're sick, or the people I'm worried about, or I'm just asking for the things that I'm asking God to do in my life. God, would you just help me to be fully present instead of just distracted today? Lord, help me be more patient today, because I don't feel like a patient person. And just start to talk to God about what I'm asking him to do. So today, God, I feel. Here's some things I'm grateful for. And now, God, here's some things I'm asking for. So that's been a helpful practice for me. And so if you feel like this you're wanting to grow in your prayer life, maybe this is a good place to start, and you can probably improve on that. But it's just been a helpful template that I just want to humbly submit to you. And it has helped me have less anxiety. I'm a world-class warrior, and I'm not quite as good at it as I used to be, which is good. I'm learning to be more of a truster. Slowly. Don't get your hopes up. Takes a while, but God's working on me. And I hope he's working on you too. So here's what I want to challenge us to do. Now, as you were coming in into that, you probably picked up a piece of paper that looks a little bit like this. So this is different than the one on the screen, so why don't we take that down for a second? You probably saw this a list like this. Would you take that out? And if for some reason you didn't receive a list and you would like to, would you put your hand up and one of our amazing ushers will get that to you? Because here's what I'd like to challenge you to do for the next couple of minutes. Is maybe start your list. And as you're writing, I hope you'll give yourself permission to not try to be really profound. Like, you don't need to come up with deep stuff. Just start with whatever's on your mind. So if you're grateful for clothing, start there. If you look at your neighbor and go, I'm really grateful for clothing, start there. Or food. Or house. Or car. Or finances. And maybe as you get further down the list, maybe things will get a little bit more profound. But just to start, and just see if something doesn't start to shift in your heart as you do. Lord, I'm grateful. So in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So I invite us to do that. And as the band comes up, because we're going to transition out of this, but even just feel free to write as I'm talking here, because this passage begins with this line: so let your gentleness be evident to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Guys, we live in a world where there's a lot to worry about. And there's a lot of people around us that are just feeling like they're on edge. What do you think could happen if, in the midst of all of that, whether that's the negative news on TV or the polarized kind of opinions on social media, what if in the midst of all of that, there is a group of people that live differently? That started to see the world in different ways. They're actually known for being grateful people. Where there was somehow with them, there was a little extra measure of peace. That doesn't mean that they were plastic, it doesn't mean they were fake, but there was just a little extra measure of peace. Let your gentleness be evident to all. What do you think could happen if there are a group of people that were a little bit like that? I think that could be one of our most, as a church, that could be one of our most powerful forms of witness to the world. Not as people who pretend we have things more figured out than we do, because we don't. But of people who are learning to be honest with God, are learning to be grateful, and are seeking to focus their hearts and minds on godly things and allowing God to transform us in the process. So keep working on that list. We're going to sing a pretty familiar song in just a moment. And as we're singing it, if there is one item on the list that especially kind of pops out to you, because I'm not going to ask you to share this list with anybody. I mean, this is just between you and the Lord. But if there's an item on that list that especially pops out to you, write it in big print. And there'll be a point in the song where I'm just invite you to hold that sign up. Just simply as an act of praise. So, all right, well, let's close in prayer. God, thank you that you invite us to come to you with everything that's going on in our life. And Lord, you know those areas where we're feeling anxiety, where we're worried, where life is honestly hard. Lord, help us to be honest with you about those struggles. And thank you, God, that you can meet us there. And Lord, as we head into this week of Thanksgiving, and we think of the meals and the loved ones and all of those good gifts, Lord, may this truly be a week of Thanksgiving. Lord, teach us what it means to be grateful people. And thank you that as we do, that you fill us with your peace. And your strength and your hope. So, Lord, we bless your name. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.